So given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. Hello once again, and welcome to Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And it's Brenda Belongi, too.
And we are analog living in a digital world, and need to see when you're your own engineer, you have to sort of adjust these things on the fly.
Sounds like you got a little exuberant with that.
Yeah, I did.
That's okay.
Hey, we
got some of the theme music in there.
Yeah, we've already had like this ginormously
busy
day getting up at before 5 a.m.
Yeah, crazy.
To go do a radio remote for KCNR, our flagship station. And it was interesting. We had some interesting experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Good tech experiences,
yes,
actually.
We'll talk about that in just a moment. This is the show with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, the tech news you could use. We're a little bit different from the tech guy. We're a little bit different than Commando. We're a little bit different than Graveline. You know, those are shows that have, like, staff.
And
large numbers of people.
A lot of money.
Yeah, they make.
We don't make
that
much money.
That would probably argue the point.
But we have a good time, and we hope that what we provide is useful to people.
Mm-hmm.
We do spend a lot of time talking about our personal experiences with events. We've learned, actually, with time that we're no different than the other folks that are blogging about tech or mm-hmm. what have you. That our experiences are very much in line with what other techies think.
We have our tech chops.
Yeah, there's that. And
I am 40-plus years as a broadcast engineer, seeing things go from pretty much early. Well, I wouldn't say I dealt with tubes. Well, I did deal with tubes because AM transmitters of that era had
big
honking tubes in them.
Yeah, and I've always been have to know technical things because some of the data that we use is based on technology, and mm-hmm. you kind of have to know the limitations. Where's your data set come from, and how does that work? So I've always been aware of these things.
In your career, you went from mainframe terminal-type computing systems to individual PCs.
And then web-based
and
things.
And now we're kind of rolling back into the mainframe.
And to some
it's
extent,
come back
yep.
around with mm-hmm. cloud stuff.
Or a mix of, you know, your own server doing powerful things and, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. It's pretty interesting. So today during the remote, we had an interesting experience with publicly available Wi-Fi.
Quote, free
right.
Wi-Fi, unlimited data. Well, free as in there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. So for this remote, we use Skype, as a lot of broadcasters do these days, because it's inexpensive. It used to be when you did a radio remote.
Oh, my gosh.
You hooked up to a phone line. At great expense.
Mm-hmm.
Then along came a system called the Marconi Wireless, and several different brand names, but mostly they ended up being generically called Marconis, and those were operating in a 400 megahertz band, and you either had to hit a repeater or be able to hit your station directly with a very tall antenna on a mast. And Brenda, I think, saw me hook up one of these things.
Yep. There were
a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah, you had to drive over the holder,
had to park the van
on the base of the antenna, And then you were all obsessed about, you know, do I have a clear signal and that sort of thing. And I could totally relate to that because I had the same thing early in my career in trying to establish data receiving systems out in remote areas. And so it was always a, you know, a lot of angst associated with that. Now it's so much easier.
And these things are expensive as all get out, and they were very complicated.
Well, even in the time that I've been palling around with you, when you go do these radio remotes where, you know, you're broadcasting from on site, what you used to haul around is now much smaller. And it's not because you've made it leaner and meaner. Well, you've been able to make it leaner and meaner as the technology has changed. And you've been able, you know, components have shrunk and things like that. So now literally it fits in a roll-around suitcase that you would take on the airplane.
Right. So
I mean, less than that, actually.
Showed up at the venue this morning with a roller bag that had the microphones, the mixer, and all that, and then my MacBook Pro. And I tied into this free Wi-Fi. What I did not know, and I had tested it, and it seemed to be working just fine. What I did not know is that this particular Wi-Fi, while it would be good for browsing and things like that, and I guess this is to discourage professional surfers from just hanging out in the mall all day and downloading Netflix or whatever, it cuts you off every 15 minutes, and you have to sort of log back in and look at an advertisement.
Yep. Well, you know.
Well, I did not think this all the way through.
Well, there's no such thing as a free lunch, right? I mean, isn't that it?
So 15 minutes into the remote, we lost our free Wi-Fi, and I would have had, and it cut off to the station. So after a little consternation, we quickly we pulled out our trusty Verizon hotspot, which is built into my iPad, reconnected, and the rest of the show went according to plan. But sort of scrambling, and that's, you know, you have to be flexible with technology. And I guess that's the point I'm trying to make, is that there is no one-size-fits-all solution for a lot of this stuff.
So my experience with with the Wi-Fi was a little bit different. I didn't have to watch the ad when I kicked off my tablet to plug into that briefly. But one of the things that it did, and increasingly you see this, is such-and-so wants to tap into your contacts and pictures. No, I don't think so.
I got that, too. I didn't get it on the on the laptop, on my MacBook, but I got it on my tablet, and I said, nope, not happening.
Exactly. But they make it sound, this is the point I want to bring up, is that when you see that on your screen, they make it look like that if you don't agree to it, that something's not going to work. And there are apps like that. Let's say you download a game, and this is where I've seen it most, is you try out a little game, and it says, oh, the such-and-so game wants to, you know, access your contacts and your photos. Why? You don't need that. And if, furthermore, if they need it for you to play, I don't need it.
Yeah.
So I always hit deny on that. If it says, oh, sorry, you know, we can't download it, okay, fine, I don't need you anyway.
I'll pay the 99 cents for the free version.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's not a free version.
99 cents
for the
paid.
Yeah, pay for it, right? And so this is what that system did, is that, well, we want your contacts and photos. I said, no. And if that means that you're not going to connect me, then okay, I'll get my hotspot out, right?
Yeah.
I just didn't want to take the time to pull out my hotspot because I was being lazy when I got this thing that's readily available. So the point of my story with this is that when you see that and it asks you, the app asks you to tap into those things, I always try deny first because most of the time they're looking for data. They want to do this or whatever.
You like, are the product.
That's right. You're the product. Don't give it to them. And hit deny, and I don't know, you know, if you hit deny, do they do it anyway? They're not supposed to.
They get caught with their hand in that particular cookie jar.
That could be bad.
Yeah, it could be very bad.
So don't let them, you know, it's a sort of a, I sort of look at it as a form of cyberbullying, if you want to look at it that way, because it makes you think you have to answer it or it's not going to work. And so, or just hit cancel.
Yeah.
And you don't even answer it. You just cancel it out.
You
so are in control. That's right.
The power.
That's right.
And
there's just they don't need that stuff from you.
By the way, we saw one of the local district attorneys, deputy district attorneys, a guy named Lucky Jess Ronnie, at this event we were at. It was a senior health senior healthy living fair. I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
and I don't know the precise title. Anyway, the county district attorney.
And you were with it for 3 hours this morning. Yeah. I know, that's what happens, right? Exactly.
But the county district attorney was there, and I was talking to him, and the types of fraud that are being perpetrated, especially aimed at seniors,
yes,
is just growing astronomically.
Yes.
The phone scams, the everything from, Grandma, I'm in jail, and the kid, and Grandma goes, Billy? Oh, yeah, it's Billy. And they will harvest. It's the same technique that psychics use to extract
right.
your
mm-hmm.
your information out mm-hmm. of your head mm-hmm. and turn it back on you. I'm sorry to, if I'm annoying true believers, but that's it's a matter of human psychology. And this same technique is used to steal passwords, to steal personal information. They get inside your head with these flim-flam techniques that are as old as con artists.
Yep.
In fact, con is for confidence. They gain your confidence. And that's how they con you. It's not about convict. It's about gaining your
right.
confidence
right.
when they're running a con game.
Right, right. They're running a confidence game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because older folks did not grow up with this technology in their hip pocket like youngsters do today, where it's a given thing. For instance, my grandparents, of course, didn't grow up with television, but mm-hmm. I did. And my parents then saw the transition. They grew up without television, but then they saw it come in. We as kids, it was always there.
Mm-hmm.
Telephones, same thing. So kids today, it's cell phones. That's yeah. everything. They don't remember it was a big deal when you got touch tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, from dial type of thing. And we were messing with a young person a few weeks ago, a group in, that I was with, and most of us were well over 50, and he's 24. And we said, you don't remember a time without cell phones, right, or voicemail. And then that launch degenerated back to phone numbers that were 3 digits.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were the phone numbers that had letters. And then there was the phone number with a name.
Right,
you know,
right.
Mayfield 56 or something like
that. Those were the names of exchanges.
Exactly. And then when he had operators that were sitting before the board, and he's like, I can't even imagine what that's like. And we're laughing because mm-hmm. this was part of life at the time, you know. So it was really interesting. Although he said, that's a really cool history lesson.
Yeah. I recall hearing from somebody who said in the early days, and I forget where this was written, but a guy says, why should I install a bell in my house that anybody in the world can
right.
ring any time, day or night?
Exactly.
I will not have this thing in my house. And somebody kind of took me to task for mentioning about this, but every major innovation in technology has produced some form of fear and backlash. For instance, did you know that the musicians' unions fought Edison when he was introducing the record player because the prediction was that the record player would put musicians out of business? Why would people go to concerts if they could sit at home
right.
and listen to the music? Now, admittedly, the music was really crappy sounding. but they had this, and they really filed suit to try to stop it. Similarly, in the early days of cable television,
yeah,
movie studios fought tooth and nail. Same with the VCR. For years, the movie industry violently and vehemently opposed the introduction of the VHS or even the Sony Betamax system just coming out swinging. And the logic there was, well, people won't go to the movies anymore if they can do it at home. You do know, you did notice that Avengers Infinity War in its first weekend, set records all over the place.
Yep. And there was just a story that came out of BBC about the Cannes Film Festival
right.
not allowing Netflix to have entries. Because
it's not a legitimate filmmaker.
Well,
yeah.
It's not a
distribution.
Yeah, it's not a distribution via a theater. And it was a great article interview with a guy that says, you know, look, I do both. I sit at home and watch these great productions. And he said, they're awesome productions. And he says, but there's something about going to a movie theater with 200 other people. And he's absolutely right.
With 200 perfect strangers.
Shared experience. And we did that with Airplanes. Disney. Was it Disney that did that? Disney's Airplanes,
yeah.
Fire and Rescue.
Right, because you're in that industry.
Because
yeah.
I'm in that industry. So we're in a room full of people that are in the industry. It was like we recently watched a movie about boating with a bunch of boaters. It was awesome. And you're not going to have that same experience for sure if you're just you.
Yeah.
So there's some I understand what they're saying about the music industry or the film industry. But, you know, it hasn't died yet.
People
still definitely go to concerts because there's something about hearing something live with your own ears, seeing something live, if you will, and on a big screen in a theater with your own eyeballs. It's just a different experience. It doesn't mean it's going to go away.
Yeah. We could wait for Black Panther to come out on the small screen. Well, although our screen isn't super small, but it's a different sort of feel. But if it's still in the theaters and we finally get around to being able to actually spare time to go to the movies, we're going to go see Black Panther in the theater because we want that experience.
Right.
Same with Avengers Infinity War.
Right.
We're going to plunk down, $8-$9?
Well, that's
for the experience. We're not doing 3D, by the way, because I hate 3D in the theater.
Well, it doesn't.
It has yet to impress me.
Well, I don't.
Although the XD theater does have some pretty cool features. Their sound systems are pretty visceral.
And you're always saying that sound trumps the visual
anyway.
So, I mean, how many times this is an old thing, old person's thing? Did you watch a snowy television picture? But the sound was okay.
Hear the dialogue,
yeah, you can kind of figure out the visual part, right?
And your brain would sort of fill in the blanks, but without that audible cue, forget about it. So it's... I forget how we got off on this rabbit trail.
Well, it's because of the audio, and I forget how we got off on the rabbit trail, too. But now you got me thinking about that. Anyway, it's that kind of show today, definitely.
So if you want to, we do occasionally receive letters, and we occasionally get phone calls. When we are live, of course, you can drop an email to boomertechradio@gmail.com. We check that from time to time, or bob@kcnr1460.com. Don't bother looking for me on Facebook because I have, and I've told people who routinely contact me on Facebook Messenger, it's not a good way to do it because I ignore it most of the week. I'll look at it about twice a week. So if you're depending on Facebook Messenger as your primary method of communicating with others, that's going to be waiting for a long time for a reply from me. And so I've told people.
Most people that know me well know that you text me. That is how you're going to get the fastest, quickest response with things. So today we had another adventure kind of in the realm, not exactly in the realm of technology, a little bit in the realm of technology, is that we went to a small, a relatively new, community-oriented...
I'd call it a regional bank.
Yeah, regional bank. Yeah, that's a good word for it. It's a regional
bank. Having had enough of the corporate behemoth we are currently with.
Yeah, there's that.
That has fallen into disgrace.
We were looking for something that was a little bit more... local to where we intend on being and a few other things, and we'd heard good things about this. So, hey, let's go check it out. Wow, what a great thing. But what was really interesting to us is that hadn't set up an account in a financial institution in some time, and some of the questions that they asked were crazy. And this is where the technology part kind of comes in, is because one of the questions they asked us was, were we planning on using this account to deal in any kind of cryptocurrency transactions?
Really?
Yes. Would we be dealing with cryptocurrency? No. Not exactly. And the second question, which this being California is no surprise, and actually this being the times we're in, really, it's not just California. Were we planning, do we engage in planning on having anything to do with processing money from the sale, production, whatever, anything associated with the marijuana industry, which, of course, an institution has to make up their mind whether they're going to deal with that or not and effectively break the law.
Yeah.
Because they are financial institutions are under a lot of federal regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, from a federal perspective, growing marijuana, even though the state says it's legal. The feds do not say it's legal, and therefore, if you're processing money from that industry, you're essentially laundering money in the eyes of the feds. Now, there is, I think, a bank in Colorado specifically that has decided to do that, because but they are taking a risk, and they're very well aware of that. So far, the feds haven't come down on them, is my understanding. But at the same time, this financial institution is asking that question. So very interesting.
Now, some banks are starting to dabble in cryptocurrency, but and you know, if I'd have followed my instincts 2 years ago and gotten a Bitcoin back when they were around $500-$600, yeah, I
well, it would have been interesting to see where it went.
Yeah, where it went. But now, right now, there are some. I think they're around 8-9. I haven't even looked at the price of Bitcoin, but the impacts of cryptocurrency because of what they call Bitcoin mining, which is nothing more than sharing the load on the distributed ledger.
Right.
And you earn Bitcoins based on the amount of work that you put into processing the ledgers. And there are these huge cryptocurrency farms, factories, that are cropping up in places where electricity is cheap because they use very powerful number-crunching computers, and, in fact, video cards are expensive right now because they make very good number crunchers if you reprogram them appropriately. And so you've got these, well, you saw the picture, Brenda, it's this row upon row of containers,
yes,
cargo containers,
yes,
the steel shipboard cargo containers repurposed with these humongous air conditioners.
Right,
on them.
With Mondo air conditioning on them. Yeah, that's the part that really kills me.
Because these things suck up wattage like crazy. So what they're doing is they're going to these remote areas that have cheap hydropower, buying up all the hydropower, and they're annoying all the locals because they're sucking up all the electricity and driving the prices up. And
yep,
there's a place in New York that's got this, and a place on the Columbia River where they're right next to a hydro dam. These guys, and this was a group of Chinese investors, went right to the operators of the power plant and said, "We want to buy your electricity before it even gets on the grid."
Right. Oh, well, that's special.
Yeah,
that isn't that a little bit of graft and corruption there or something like that? I don't know. Can they do that?
Well, it's an area that nobody ever thought of before.
That was an interesting experience at the financial institution. And, of course, this being California is something like that. But another tech thing in the news this week for California is the fact that apparently I forget which commission it is in the state of California. But anyway, new construction starting in 2020 has to have solar panels on the roof. Well, cha-ching! You just added like $10,000 to the cost of that structure.
Yeah, right now a single-family dwelling in a place like Silicon Valley
is impossible.
Yeah, unless you are a very highly paid executive at a tech company, you can't afford to find a place to live.
You know, you're talking about $750,000, half to $750,000 for a doghouse.
Yeah.
For things that just unbelievably raggedy, if you can even find it. And so that's just outside of the working person's capability.
Yeah.
But interesting that technology has come in, and it'll be interesting to see what that happens to the utilities, because if you're not using as much energy off-grid, then they don't get as much money. So how is that going to be handled? So I'm wondering if this is a case of where the technology is being employed and the legislation, the unintended consequences on another industry have not been well thought out. And I don't know the whole story there. It's going to be interesting to see how this evolves.
There are those who have suggested, and I have to say there's times when they certainly do appear to have a point, that the state of California is declaring war on the single-family dwelling. And is this a part of that? And the conspiracy theorists are hopping up and down going, yeah. Well, there's conspiracies and there's just stuff happens. Everything is a conspiracy, even though there's people who like to think that everything is a conspiracy. I think it's a combination. I think there is some pretty unfortunate, some people who don't think these things all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
have some pie-in-the-sky ideas about, well, we're going to save the planet by putting everybody into these compact, you know, living spaces that are stacked and packed in urban areas. Yuck. But that's sort of outside the scope of our program.
Yep, true.
What is inside the scope of our program is tech news you can use. Right after this break, my son Alan joins me, and he's got several stories, including a few that will pretty much raise your hair. It's Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. Right after this, the show continues.
Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com. Or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster, and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab. Faster for less.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, Because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Welcome back to Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi. Still and with me on the Skype line is Alan Belongi, my son, who is also very, very into tech. Alan, welcome back.
Howdy, howdy.
Yep.
Here for another week.
Here for another week, indeed. We've had some interesting comments that about the show, and a lot of people appreciate how we sort of bring things down to earth, and some people are glad to know that there's reasons why they didn't get involved in technology. But, of course, technology has a couple of edges, and our stories today kind of go on both sides of that spectrum. Now, when you're doing very delicate surgery and you've got a guy highly trained, or a woman, highly trained, but it's still a hand holding a scalpel next to extremely delicate tissues, and one slip, one tremor, and you could cause an awful lot of damage. I guess that that's one of the reasons why robot-assisted surgery, the robot isn't doing the surgery, it's not deciding where to cut, but the doctor is still calling the shots, right?
Right. At Penn State, they recently just had their first successful, or I think first ever, robotic-assisted surgery on the spinal cord, which is a particularly tough bundle of nerves, you know, that are fairly important. The patient, Noah Perinkoff, had a tumor inside the spine at the base of his head, right at the base of his skull. And they used the Da Vinci robotic arms, that name for it, to cut away most of the bone and thing away, just so that, because that's the most delicate part of the whole surgery.
Right, takes a high degree of precision.
Right, and then once that was out of the way, they were able to make sure they got the whole mass out and all that and safely get him all stitched up. But, you know, they'd used a robotic surgery for a whole sorts of different things, but this was the first time they ever did it on a spinal cord.
Very, very good. And one of the things that strikes me is that we hear stories about, well, so-and-so has an inoperable tumor because of its location. And the reason is, of course, that you can't get to it without killing the patient from having to carve your way in. So as these things get more and more precise and they get smaller, almost to the point where we're going to have Fantastic Voyage-type robotics able to attack a problem from the inside, that's a big advance in medical science.
Nanobots.
Absolutely.
And once they're able to get to that small and able to affect things on a cellular level, that'll be really interesting step forward for medicine in general.
Well, there is talk about being able to, rather than poison the entire body with chemo, which a lot of people have had to endure, including your grandmother, small robotics will be able to deliver doses directly to the tumor and not affect surrounding the entire rest of the patient, which that would be a huge step.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, this next one, and I just had this. I I have a little book. This is the most secure thing in the world. I have a little book in which I write a lot of my passwords down because I can never remember them, because you're supposed to have different passwords for everything. And obviously, for one of the sites, I forgot to write the password in the little book. I just made it up, and then I went to log in, and it's like, oop, and you can't try too many times or you end up, you know, locked out completely. Firefox supposedly has a solution?
It's working towards it. It makes use of a web authentication API, which is just a way to secure, you know, that you're you, similar to what a password does. But it makes use of it through little physical devices that you plug into the machine, like something like a YubiKey. It's just like...
Oh, like a dongle? Okay.
Yeah, it looks a little bit like a USB or a SD card of sorts. And you stick it in your computer, and that's like your verification or thumbprint or whatever that's you. So you don't have to worry about remembering passwords or whatever, as long as Firefox is able to read that particular physical device you've stuck in the computer, it'll recognize you as being you. Now, you know, it's the difference between a combination lock and a key lock. I mean, one, you have to remember something. One, you have to physically have the thing. You know, they all have their pluses and minuses, but I always was a proponent of the key lock anyway.
Yeah. Although somebody could, of course, take the key away from you and then... So that's where maybe a second factor has to be involved.
Right. There's pluses and minuses. They've already made these the YubiKey pretty good at not being duplicated. It'd be hard to like actually rip the information off of them to like recreate it. They all have their own particular
like a chip credit card then.
Similar, yeah.
High security. All righty. We've discovered, and of course this whole last year has been about politically, the amount of influence that advertisements can have on major political issues. And now there's a big upcoming referendum in Ireland because they are considering voting to unify the country once again, and Google's trying to stay out of the fray.
Well, in this particular one, it's about Irish repealing an abortion ban.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And Google's gone ahead and just disallowed all advertisements related to this referendum. It's somewhat similar to what Facebook's promised to do and disallow any foreign actor from making any kind of contribution. Google's just gone the step ahead and just not allowed any, period. And they have some critics from some of the Ireland political people saying that it's a little too late now since it's about a month or two away. Or sorry, it's later this month on May 25th. It's saying it's a little too late, and people have already been influenced by their ads or whatnot, but it's another step in the whole, they're just trying better to not be as much of an influencer on political outcomes, especially with other people influencing those political outcomes.
Right.
Yeah,
and you never know where the message is actually coming from. I like a fast internet, and you know, the AT&T will tell you that 6 megabits per second counts as high speed, which we tend to disagree with. South Korea, though, heading out to the head of the pack in terms of speed?
Just a little bit. They've always been a pretty dang fast internet over there, but this year they're rolling out 2.5 gigabit speed. Now, a gigabit is you know, 1,000 megabits. So when you hear, we have 6 gigabit internet, yeah, well, Korea, North or South Korea has 500 times that, effectively.
Yeah, because U.S. broadband, the broadband definition is what, 25 megs a second, right?
Yeah, well, the average,
megabits.
the average in the U.S. last year was 18.7 available connection speed across the U.S. Now, South Korea does have a little bit of an advantage in that, A, it's a very small country. I mean, the sheer land mass is way smaller over there, and they have a notably less rural areas than we do, and it's very hard to, you know, roll out the lines in such a large land mass that we have. And the other benefit they have is that it's effectively all government-sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the government taxes and puts forward, you know, personal, quote-unquote, effort into making it fast and effective, which is not something we necessarily do. We try to let the, you know, businesses work out and lay out lines for whatever be profitable for them.
Which is why we places like, you know, Belarus have better internet than we do half the time. Oh, well.
Right. Which, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it costs a lot to roll out those lines.
Infrastructure is not cheap. Yeah.
Right. And until internet becomes a utility, like, you know, roads or gas, it's going to be in a weird, awkward transition or position of not of being kind of regulated by the U.S., but not, you know, fully, you know, what I'm going for.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, there was news that ZTE, the big Chinese smartphone maker, had been banned from U.S. military PX operations, and there was concerns about security, apparently, but also they were basically getting their hands slapped, and now even more penalties against them, to the point where they are having to shut down because one of their largest markets, us, is no longer buying handsets, right?
Well, it's
or we're not selling them the pieces for the
technology. We're not allowing them to buy any of the pieces which they need to make their smartphones,
including the operating system. Yeah,
right. They got hit by a denial order because they broke sanctions by actually selling U.S. made technology to Iran and North Korea. So they would buy bits and pieces of the smartphone from us, they put it together in their phone, and then sell it to people which we explicitly said don't sell them to. So, but because they aren't allowed to buy any of their, like, main parts anymore, the company's not, you know, dead in the water right now, but it's definitely winding up and closing, slowly closing, because it won't be able to keep up with, you know, any sort of demand it might get in the future, since it can't actually make its product anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's ceased all major operations, which would be, you know, manufacturing and marketing of its product. It'll still hang around for probably a couple more years to, like, you know, do repair work or guarantees or whatnot, but it's definitely on the downtrend.
Any chance that maybe Apple's had some influence here, or maybe even Samsung has had some influence here? Any rumors to that effect?
That doesn't seem likely, and it wasn't talked about in an article I was reading. It's definitely all just about the U.S. government saying, no more selling to these guys.
Hmm. Google I.O., the big conference, is taking place this week, and a few announcements have had some people really getting upset. You get a phone call, and it sounds pretty much like a person. You would expect them. It doesn't sound artificial, but is it really? Is it live or is it Memorex? So some people are freaking out a little bit about how just real the voice of Google is?
Yeah, and some people are saying that it sounds real enough to where it really should have some sort of disclaimer or whatever when it contacts somebody, to be clear that they're talking to a robot. And I don't know, I don't think it really matters whether you're talking to a robot or not if they're calling to schedule an appointment for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the demonstration they had, the very convincing sounding robot said, "I'm calling on behalf of a client," which is not strictly incorrect. It's a client. He mm-hmm. purchased mm-hmm. this. And then I'd like to schedule an appointment for a haircut for this lady that I'm calling on behalf of. Do you have any times for this for noon? They said no. And so, it got halted, and it had to figure out what to do after it got told, no, we don't have any offer things for noon. So it was able to figure out, okay, so do you have anything from 10 to noon? And then, the conversation went on fairly normally. It was a little stilted, a little awkward, but unless you were thinking about it, you weren't going to be able to tell this was a person.
So we've entered there's a term for computer graphics, particularly representations of people, called the uncanny valley. And it's a position where it's a situation where the representation of a person is so realistic that it creeps you out to look at it.
So it's the idea that it's very close to real, but there's something about it, something off that's just disconcerting, because your brain thinks it's pretty close to real, but there's something definitely wrong with it. So that's why it's really unsettling to see fairly lifelike looking robots, but then they move like a robot, because mm-hmm. your brain's thinking, okay, this might be a person, but then it's not acting the way that it should, so it really puts your hackles up and makes you very, very aware that this thing is not behaving the way it should.
Your hind brain is going, uh-oh, something wrong here, which, of course, it's designed to react when things aren't quite right.
So, right, that's just the bad gut feeling people get,
Yeah.
And if it looked like a robot, it would be like, okay, fine, it's acting like the way it should. But until it's able to cross that gap of not unsettling people, that uncanny valley is definitely going to stick around for a while.
I've seen some computer games where the on-screen characters that are moving in real time, in other words, they don't have to be rendered by huge banks of computers. They're pretty much being generated on the fly. Extremely convincing in terms of the shading and the light. We're still not quite there, but how close are we to a on TV, an on-camera host who can't be told from the real thing? Japan is, I guess, or was it China, had a on-camera host who wasn't really on camera, was strictly CG, and it was pretty darn close.
Now, a lot of the times, things like that are kind of what I consider like cheating. Mm-hmm. They use, face capture software there. They rig somebody's face up with a whole bunch of different points on them, and then, learn what their facial structures move like, and then they replicate it exactly in a, 3D environment. So mm-hmm. it's not quite generating its own facial, expressions. It's just replicating somebody else's.
Oh, like the suits with the ping pong balls on them that they used for Avatar.
Exactly, yeah. They could have a whole bunch of ping pong balls on the guy's faces to record what their faces move like exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you look at what are called wireframes in the early stages of computer-generated characters, it's very interesting because they basically mimic the facial and muscular structure. We have heard dire predictions that coming up very, very soon, on June 11th, the Internet as we know it will die, and the free Internet will give way to the corporate monstrosities, etc., etc. What is your take on net neutrality?
Well, to be entirely fair, it is getting more free when net neutrality is repealed, since it'll be less regulated. Now, it's hard to say whether or not it'll be like better, since Obama introduced net neutrality, so it going away is going to be like from before he introduced it, or at least signed off on it. So it's not like net neutrality has been around since the dawn of the internet.
Essentially, what we're talking about, of course, is let's say you subscribe to Comcast, and Comcast has a movie service. But you also like to watch movies from, oh, say, Amazon. And Amazon and Comcast, at this in this hypothetical scenario, are not playing well together. And there's a huge temptation for Comcast to slow down the traffic from Amazon, again, hypothetical situation, while giving their own traffic a fast lane so it looks better, and thereby swaying consumers one way or another based on who has access to the fast traffic lane. Is that about right?
It's something like that. Net neutrality just says you can't treat internet traffic differently, depending on what it is. Yeah, all internet traffic that comes from your users needs to be treated the same. And I'm not opposed to that idea. I'm not necessarily sure that it needs to be regulated, though. As in, because if an ISP, takes the time out to do stuff like that and people don't like it, well, they'll more than likely move to a different internet service provider or get such a bad rap to where another competitor will be able to move in on their market if they, treat their customers poorly for long enough.
Gotcha. Finally, go ahead.
The internet wasn't a horrible place before the internet, before net neutrality, and I doubt it will become one anytime soon with it going away. But, will be seen as time unfolds.
I think consumers will make their displeasure known if they see things like that. Finally, a little bit creepy for those who are really thinking about getting into a smart home to have your Amazon Echo control your lights, control your heating, lock and unlock your doors. A little bit of a disturbing development that is like subliminal messages directed at your smart speaker.
Yeah. So I forgot where it was exactly they originally discovered it, but they've discovered that your helping devices or whatnot, like you just mentioned, can actually hear outside of the range of human hearing. And is able to accept commands from those ranges. So within, for example, a song or through the radio or pretty much anything else, if you're able to produce a command that's outside of human hearing and get your phone to, say, buy 20 gallons of ice cream without you being able to hear it, it's very possible now. And it hasn't been, exploited in real world yet, but it's very well could be coming until, they start Amazon and Apple and all that start looking into actually fixing
this kind of
oversight.
Now, I have noted my Echo speaker lighting up at random times when we're watching TV, and it's not supposed to do that unless it hears the keyword. But obviously some combination of syllables has triggered the device, and it listens, and it'll sometimes right in the middle of the movie say, "Sorry, I don't know what you mean."
Yeah. You're like, "I don't want you to mean anything right now.
You're creeping me out." Always a great, again.
It's very well could be coming until, they start Amazon and Apple and all that start looking into actually fixing
oversight.
Well, due to the miracle of modern electronics, I managed to make a small error there, and I'm not sure why I'm not coming through because I'm using the wrong microphone.
There I am. We're going to go ahead and take our break for the top of the hour. Little technical glitch there because I clicked the wrong thing at the wrong time. Boomer Tech Radio, top of the hour news up next. More after the break. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
...renegotiated North American Free Trade Agreement, and with less than a week to revamp the existing deal, James Blears reports it could be too late for Congress to ratify it.
Mexico's Minister of the Economy, Ildefonso Guajardo, says working groups are meeting again on Monday, but Thursday is the deadline for a fully renegotiated NAFTA deal. It's practically unlikely given huge stumbling blocks about the automotive industry. Disagreement remains about redirection of significant auto production to U.S. and Canadian factories. President Trump has just said the NAFTA is, quote, a horrible, horrible disaster. If it fails, there'll be an annual $50 billion hole in the Mexican economy. James Blears, Mexico.
Hawaii's Kilauea volcano has been oozing lava for a week. It's destroyed dozens of homes, forced nearly 2,000 people or more to evacuate. The national park around the volcano is off limits to visitors for fear the volcano will blow its top in the coming days, hurling ash and boulders the size of refrigerators into the air. Iraqis went to the polls today. It's the first time since the country declared victory over the Islamic State group. As correspondent Susanna George reports, there were no frontrunners.
Iraq's Prime Minister, Haider al-Abadi, was running to retain his seat, and his biggest political competition came from his predecessor, Nouri al-Maliki, and also the leader of an alliance of parties that have strong ties to Iraq's powerful, mostly Shiite, paramilitary organization.
SpaceX yesterday launched the first satellite belonging to Bangladesh using an upgraded rocket designed for dozens of repeat flights. The latest version of the Falcon 9 lifted off from Kennedy's Space Center in Florida carrying a communications satellite named after the country's founding father. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Want to change how you feel significantly? ReliefFactor.com will do that for you. Support for temporary relief of minor aches and pains. If you're out there exercising, you go a little bit too far, as I did on Saturday, you definitely need Relief Factor on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Actually, I take it every day, as do tens of thousands of people. They know that they should have Omega, which is fish oil, resveratrol, which you can get from drinking red wine, but you don't know how much. Icaria and Curcumin all together, carefully calibrated, perfectly formulated, the combination of four natural supplements that everyone agrees you ought to be taking every single day. This makes it easy to do in the amount that is appropriate for your body. The starter pack is $19.95. You try it for 3 weeks. Put everything else away that your doctor says you can put away. Don't not take what he tells you to take. And then see if you don't feel terrific. You'll feel much better. ReliefFactor.com works. Tens of thousands of people say so. Their testimonials are abundant and real and sincere. Go and watch them and get ReliefFactor.com.
Overseas and, well, around the world, actually, excitement building in England for the next week's royal wedding. Correspondent Karen Chamas has our report from London.
The town of Windsor is a buzz of anticipation ahead of the wedding of Britain's Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Streets are festooned with Union Jacks and already crowded with tourists from all over the world, including Jocelyn Lloyd from Philadelphia.
So it's really exciting to be able to see where the wedding's going to happen and all of that, so it'll be pretty cool.
Shopkeepers are expecting a boost in sales, and royal memorabilia collector Margaret Tyler plans to do her bit.
I suppose I've probably got about 20 new pieces.
She says people like to buy something to mark the occasion.
If they've been to a royal wedding, it's something to look at and remember them by. So I think that's a nice idea.
Thousands are expected to crowd Windsor's narrow streets next Saturday, hoping for a glimpse of Harry and Meghan. Karen Chamas, London.
And you can find more of these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Oklahoma Republican Governor Mary Fallon vetoed a bill that would have allowed adults to carry handguns without a permit and signed another that permits religious organizations to exclude same-sex couples from adoption.
Twit actions announced late Friday were among more than a dozen decisions on legislation taken by the term-limited governor as she clears the decks in her waning months in office. They also followed a tumultuous session of the legislature that saw striking teachers march on the Capitol, prompting lawmakers to raise taxes, including on the state's powerful oil and gas industry, to fund increases in education spending. Patrick Frost reporting.
A man who ran a telemarketing business hawking light bulbs and cleaning supplies has pleaded guilty to federal charges of conspiracy to commit mail fraud and conspiracy to defraud the IRS. 57-year-old Eric Epstein of Pompano Beach, Florida, faces up to 25 years in prison when he's sentenced in September. News and analysis at townhall.com.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. Welcome back to Boomer Tech Radio and the tech news you can use. And when the techie guy is his own engineer and has task overload, strange things happen. Just before the top of the hour news, if you were listening, things got a little off kilter there.
Well, we are.
Yeah, we
this
are.
This show is.
Yeah, this is Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. I'm Bob. She's Brenda, obviously.
Not I, your I, usual start to your second
no,
hour,
no,
but you're,
just,
you're off balance at the moment.
I'm a little
annoyed with yourself?
I'm very annoyed with myself, because normally you like to have a very nice, smooth operating show. This is why hosts have engineers and producers and a staff to keep them organized.
For sure.
Normally we manage to pull it off without sounding like...
It's
been a long day.
It's been a long day. It's been a long week.
It has. Anyway, Boomer Tech Radio is, of course, brought to you here in Reading by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for our customers and our community. 5756 F West Side Road, 530-244-4423. They are our mechanics of choice here in the North State. So Alan had some good stuff.
He always does.
Yeah. I'm actually thinking we've got a couple of Echo and home-related stories that we'll see if we can get to during this hour. I'm thinking about there's a pretty good deal, I guess, on the Google Home Max, which is the really high-quality music version of the Google Home.
In other words, the speaker technology is what you're using for.
Yeah.
Or getting it for.
I like the interface of the Google Home and the way it reacts and the way it responds. I really find myself leaning, even though the Echo was the first kid on the block, I'm really finding myself leaning towards the Google Home as a friendlier speaker.
Yep. I asked him. Complicated. That's what we find is that Google Home seems to be able to parse out a more complicated request. So I asked it, OKG, fired it off, blah, blah, fast food restaurant, hours. That's all I said, or hours, blah, blah, fast food restaurant, Redding, California.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And boom, there it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't use a complete sentence because you don't have to, because it's looking for keywords.
Keywords, just like an internet search.
Exactly. Just like you would.
It is an internet search.
It is, only it's verbal. It has to recognize your voice and what it is you're asking and then put it in context, blah, blah, blah. And it did it almost instantaneously. It said, oh, okay, such and so fast food restaurant, here's the hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, awesome. Yeah. It was just awesome.
We are still a long ways from Jarvis, and I'm not that worried about nefarious music buried in, you know, nefarious commands buried in a piece of music destroying my house, because right now I don't have a particularly smart house. Our Nest thermostat isn't even connected to our Echo, because I just walk over to the thermostat and adjust it. I still manually adjust the TV. Mostly because our Samsung set isn't, it's like one generation too old to interact with our smart speaker. And that's kind of a Star Trek-y gee whiz sort of thing. And it would be nice, and probably our you know, if we get a set in the future, it will have some kind of voice command. I'm content just to channel surf the old-fashioned way.
Right.
Although, if you are doing some work and stuff like that, it's kind of nice to be able to say, frequently I'll tell our smart speakers to pull up a song list and start playing them, so I don't have to go fiddle with a bunch of buttons if I'm in the middle of something.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do a lot of integration with calendar, although some people are very into that, to set appointments. But there was some creepiness at the Google I.O. that the... Google Assistant's abilities now to mimic human speech patterns are uncanny. And I've gotten a few of these robocalls that you're really unsure for quite a while. Is there a person, or is it a responsive robot? And some people are really freaked out by this, that there needs to be a disclaimer or something.
True, but like Alan pointed out in his comments, is you guys were talking about this, there's just something not quite right about it, and it doesn't take you long with a little bit of experience to, oh, yeah, this is a robocall, particularly since they use the same voice. Hi, I've been trying to reach you for days, and upspeak that's in there, and the whole thing, is that okay?
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, this is just a little too forced. There's something not right about it.
Well, I tell you what, I think this is going to backfire severely, because people are going to say, well, that's not a person who I need to worry about, because a lot of sales, and you may have noticed this, a lot of sales depends on your natural instinct to please somebody, to help someone out.
Right.
Very good salespeople can make you feel like they're your best buddy. Those are the best salespeople. And so we have these social filters that can be manipulated to get us to buy the product or purchase or make the donation or something like that. As prevalence grows of an artificial system that's not really a person, I think that the rudeness level is going to get kicked up a notch. I'm already pretty blunt with some of these people.
You have done some of that.
Yeah.
Another one we get now a lot is the solar company, and what these people are is a dispatcher for a local company. They're hired. And I got one the other day, and I get this thing, sure, you know, you're at this address. It was the wrong address, but that's okay. I said, sure, so on and so forth. It was obvious that American English was not this person's first language, and I said that. I said, American English isn't your first language. Well, no, I am not an American person. And it was a real person, and I said, how come your voice changed? So what they had done seemed pretty apparent to me is that there had been a recording of a person.
Oh, so when you go through a drive-thru, you get
it's
this.
It's like, yes, no, yeah, that sort of thing. How are you today? And then all of a sudden, the voice changed gender. or it's a completely different voice. I said, how come your voice? And the guy goes, oh, well, my name is Mike Smith. And I said, your name's not Mike Smith. You know, the whole thing. And they try to, when you get this person on, they do try to bully you into getting
exactly.
the company. And I said, no, I don't think so. That would be wasting that person's time. Well, you just have to listen to the information, and then you and your family can decide if you want to blah, blah. No, I don't think so. You know, and finally I said, nah, see you later, and hung up on him. It was amusing up to a point, and then I hung up.
These things cost money to set up, and nobody is giving you anything for free.
No,
okay?
Nope.
By the way, saying it again, I keep saying it over and over again, Microsoft is never, ever going to call your house and help you fix your computer.
Yeah. Definitely not
happening. The Internal Revenue Service is never going to call your house and offer you the opportunity to pay off your fine over the phone.
Right.
The traffic court is never going to call your house and say, pay your fine or we will haul you off to jail. And they terrorize older people into coughing up literally billions of dollars nationally every year.
Right. It's just,
they should be ashamed.
They should be ashamed. That's just wrong. But at the same time, when you get these calls, you're essentially a consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be very vigilant about this and very knowledgeable. It's just like, you know, maintaining your computer and whatnot. Now, the calls that you're talking about, hey, this is Johnny or what have you. You have to be educated enough, experienced enough to know that that is not legitimate, and that's the tricky part. So that's part of what Boomer Tech Radio is about for us, is to let you know about some of these things so that hopefully you're a little more educated and you don't fall into certain traps. It's just like the app I was talking about last hour. When it asks you for access to your photos and your contacts, it's like, don't be intimidated. And it's like, no, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, you maintain your control.
Right. And sometimes it's hard to know where that limit is, especially if you're just getting into technology and you don't have a good sense of how it works.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of robocalls... The hammer does occasionally fall. Story here from Morning Consult, which is a tech news firm. Love this one. Federal Communications Commission has issued a record $120 million fine to a man in Florida who allegedly is responsible for almost 100 million robocalls in a three-month period. The FCC announced during its monthly meeting it had imposed a fine, which was proposed last year, on Adrian Abramanovich. Anyway,
something like that.
$120 million.
Wow.
So more than a dollar a call. Now, of course, the government sees that money. The poor consumers would put up with this nonsense.
Well, yeah, and then part of my question would be... How are they going to collect on that?
Yeah, exactly. He's got a fine, but it doesn't say anything whether this guy has the actual finances to pay for it. So, you know, paying for things. You know, I went to the hardware store the other day, and I had forgotten my wallet, but I had my smartphone with me. And on the door is an Apple Pay symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, damn.
If you'd had that, you could have.
If I'd had Apple, or if they had accepted Google Pay, which more and more places are starting to do, I could have picked up the part instead of having to drive all the way back home, get my wallet, then drive all the way back. So technology would have helped me out in that.
In that arena? Oh, dear.
Apple and Goldman Sachs are reportedly thinking about launching a joint credit card, making Apple's first foray into the industry. It's looking to combat weaknesses in other areas of the business. They send, you know, new iPhone. Everybody wants an iPhone, has an iPhone, basically. And people aren't up. When an iPhone costs you $1,000, you don't replace it every 2 years.
No. Most of us can't afford that.
That credit card would carry the company's Apple Pay brand. Could launch as early as next week, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Wow.
Yeah. The traditional credit card is starting to vanish. Of course, yep. We have these chip-based cards, but our smartphones are becoming our wallets.
Right, and there's also already with credit cards, I think Europe has completely abolished signatures
mm-hmm.
Because the chip makes things more secure. And there is better, the signature is not that secure anymore because you can scribble anything and it looks like a signature.
And I heard an argument, well, I wouldn't do that because that way they can track all my purchases. You don't think they aren't already?
Yeah, right?
Oh, dear me. Speaking of paying for things, Cisco Systems, they are temporarily pausing advertisements on Google's YouTube platform because their ads have been showing up next to videos that basically are at odds with Cisco's corporate policy. Cisco announced in a blog post that removing all online ads from YouTube until the video's streaming platform has met standards. A news report last month found that ads from more than 300 companies, including Cisco, were run along those opening ads when you run a YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
The ads were showing up in content from extremists, including channels that promote white nationalists, Nazis, and North Koreans. The North Korean government propaganda.
Dear me, that's kind of scary to some extent.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to admit that this story has me very, very confused. I haven't been, because I'm not a real super hyper-political person, the whole thing about Trump's personal attorney and this connection to AT&T.
And them asking for information.
Yeah, AT&T reached out to Michael Cohen after 3 days after Trump's inauguration for help on a variety of issues pending before the federal government, including the company's proposed merger with Time Warner. Reporters obtained those documents. The documents are said to detail the scope of Cohen's $600,000 deal with AT&T, including how a contract specified he would provide advice on the proposed $85 billion merger that the Trump administration ultimately opposed. So they didn't facilitate it going through. But here, you know, people want to connect all these dots, and this guy probably should not have gotten in the middle of that particular deal. But there's people who have a lot of problem with anything related to our current president.
And how are you supposed to know what the truth is anyway?
Pretty much.
So, I don't know.
We were talking about the Google Home speaker, and I'm really tempted by this deal right now that Google Home put out. If you purchase a Google Max, which is the big guy, it's about $250.
The one that has the better speaker.
Yeah,
with
it has a beautiful
higher high-tone speaker. Sound or something like that.
But this thing will pretty much rock the house. If you buy a Max, you get a mini in the box, free.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. And like I said, we are really personally finding ourselves more leaning into the Google Home ecosystem than we are the Amazon ecosystem. It's just a matter of personal taste. Some people are really jazzed about the Echo. Some people won't have one of the things near their house.
Yeah. That's all good.
Yeah. According to the Consumer Technology Association, though, Google wants to increase device blending. In other words, TV, video, search.
Right. For instance, you could give your Google a voice command to, you know, play a certain show.
Yeah. So
right?
I'm wondering if when people upload these fan music videos, would that be a vehicle to deliver this subliminal voice command malware?
I don't know.
So the scenario that was in one of the news stories that, you know, you're sitting there listening to Spotify, or maybe you've downloaded some illegal music, you know, some bootleg music, and all of a sudden your iPhone logs onto a porn site because it just got a voice command to do so.
Oops.
You didn't hear.
Oops.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's not so good.
Yeah.
Oh, dear me.
Yeah. Let's see here. Moving on through some very quick tech stories here. A three-judge panel. This is the one that afternoon tech update, and I'm going to skip the ATT story because we already covered that. Three-judge panel from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that Seattle's directive allowing collective bargaining for drivers for hire, we're talking about Uber and Lyft, isn't exempted from antitrust law, that it will give a boost to companies like Uber and Lyft. They've criticized that ordinance. The panel agreed with the lower court ruling Seattle's law is not preempted by the National Labor Relations Act, and they've concluded that Washington State didn't authorize the law specifically enough. Now, I've made use, we've used Uber. We haven't used Lyft around here. I mean, because I've set up an Uber account.
Is it even available here?
I've seen Lyft cars in our area.
Yeah. All right.
But so far, it's been a positive experience. We haven't had any of these horror stories.
No. That you hear about.
Yeah, you hear about these terrible things happening. Let's see here. Oh, the most loved brands in America. I found this to be really, really interesting. Let me pull it up here. Interesting story on Google News. The 25 most loved brands overall. And this really struck me. At number 25 is Microsoft.
Really?
I'm surprised they made the top 25.
Loved.
The number one brand, and this is interesting. Okay, number two is Hershey's. These are brands with the most positive consumer impressions.
Okay.
Number two is Hershey's.
Obviously, these are national brands, big brands, et cetera.
Yeah. Number two, Hershey's. Three, Pillsbury. Who doesn't love
the Pillsbury Doughboy? Yes. Even though I'm not fond of their products, although their cake mixes are okay, but their stuffed biscuits in a tube and stuff taste kind of weird to me.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll do the top.
Do the top 10.
Top 10. Campbell's Soup and Colgate tie for the number 10 position. Mm-hmm. Colgate toothpaste and Campbell's Soup, preferably not at the same time.
Well, you need one after
number
the other.
Number 9, YouTube. Number 8?
Really?
Betty Crocker.
Oh, yes, Betty Crocker. You know, there's a cookbook that is still popular, Betty Crocker cookbook.
Number 7, Sony. Sony hangs on because throughout the 80s and 90s, Sony was the king of consumer electronics.
Definitely. And they, you know, sort of Bose came in and did some things like that, but it's that same kind of thing.
Number 6, Kellogg's.
Rice Krispies. And Rice Krispie Treats.
Tied at number 4, Amazon and UPS.
Tied, okay. I thought you were going to say tied like the laundry detergent.
No. Tied at number 4 position. As we said, Pillsbury 3, Hershey's 2, the number 1 trusted brand in the United States, the most loved brand, is Google. Who'd have thunk?
Interesting. Particularly since Google does not, you know, okay, think about all of those other things. For the most part, with the exception of UPS, right? They're providing a service. The rest of them are tangible manufacturers that have actually, you know, hold in your hand products, consumables or
except
whatever.
Except like YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, well, YouTube. Okay, so that's a service of a sort, but you could that's still a consumable because you can watch. It's entertainment, right? But Google has. Is not an actual product, and it is more of a service like UPS, but it's not. It's very different than any of the rest of those.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way.
Rounding out the list, Clorox, FedEx, Netflix, Home Depot, Levi's.
Mm. They do a quality product.
Dove, the soap, not the
chocolate.
Although Dove chocolate is pretty darn good stuff.
Yes.
Frito-Lay.
Better than Hershey's.
Dollar Tree, Lowe's.
Dollar Tree.
Yeah. Samsung Electronics, Nestle, Lipton, General Mills, and then at top of at 25th in the stack was Microsoft. What an interesting list!
That is an interesting list, huh? So the analyst in me, right? The scientist in me says, so what criteria did they use? You know, so how did they run this survey? Who sold them this big data that allowed somebody to do some analysis on this? I mean, I have a whole bunch of questions about how they come up with that because, you know, you see the clickbait things online. It says 25 top places for retirees to live type of thing. Well, you know, based on what criteria? Mm-hmm. Most of the ones that I've seen in those and I've idly gone through there is like, oh, they're all big cities. I don't want to live there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe near there would be okay, but I don't want to live in that city. So what criteria are you offering people? It's like when you get the telemarketing call, or it's a survey, and they ask you questions, either yes or no questions, or whatever. You have absolutely no choice but to answer their questions. They're guiding the survey. So I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But the breadth of companies, now some of them have been part of Americana, part of our culture throughout growing up. I mean, who didn't love the Pillsbury Doughboy?
Well,
who,
and Kellogg's has been around forever. And
who didn't grow up with Betty Crocker?
And yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Still tries to be a force in the culinary world, you know? Wow. It's pretty interesting.
We got lots more tech news you can use as we do one more segment of Boomer Tech Radio. It's Bob and Brenda back with more tech news you can use right after these messages. Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Spring is springing, the trees are leafing, the birds are chirping, and temperatures are on the rise. So, your heater's probably the last thing on your mind, right? Fact is, right now is the perfect time to prepare for next winter. Through June 8th, SST Oil is offering 20% off maintenance and 10% off parts with an additional 5% discount for our veterans. SST Oil Services Monitor and Toyotomi brands of heaters and water heaters. When you call SST at 241-1167, ask about early bird discounts on kerosene May through July. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, 530-241-1167.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster, and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab. Faster for less.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Lift off.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why
Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great landing, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. Back for one more segment of Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. The tech news you can use, that catchy little theme tune that you're listening to is called 8-Bit Junkie. It's composed and performed by George Wood, and it is used by permission. We got it off the PodSafe Music Network. Speaking of pod things, you can listen to the podcast by subscribing via iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or Tune In Radio. You can hear the podcast when we upload them, and which we do a few days after the broadcast. And of course, we upload them through our Bluehost hosting site. But you can just subscribe to the podcast, or you can simply go to BoomerTechRadio.com and listen to the show there. And you can go to KCNR1460.com/archives. Pick up the show there. So all kinds of ways to hear this program. We're happy with that.
Yep.
Now, we talked about when Alan did his segment in the first hour about the robotic-assisted surgery and how it's making possible types of surgery that really require more finesse than the human hand can do. Because we talk about operations that we can't conduct. Similarly, even a highly trained cardiologist can look at an EKG and not see certain conditions because we're very good at looking at what's right in front of our face, but within seconds, of course, it's faded out. So you may not catch certain patterns. This is where artificial intelligence is playing an increasing role. Doing things like spotting diabetes, examining scans. There's a life-threatening condition where there's really no traditional diagnostic tool. The condition is called long QT syndrome, and it's a certain rhythm of the heart where it essentially takes the heart too long to recharge for the next beat. And the QT interval is a measure of the time between the start of what's called the Q wave and the end of the T wave in the heart's electrical cycle.
I think most people have probably seen an EKG or they've had one
right,
on them.
Right, right.
And so you're, we did a thing in college physics, a group of us in the lab. So we picked on the guy, his lab partners, and the other two of us, ladies, said, if you're the guinea pig, we'll do all the work because you get to take your shirt off. And we hooked it up and did this, had some fun in the lab with, you know, waves, heartbeats.
Well, LQTS is a condition that affects about one in every 2,000 people. It's hereditary usually, or it could be initiated by drugs that can change the interval. Some antibiotics and antidepressants can trigger the condition. It's very difficult to diagnose. About 50% of patients, they show a normal interval on their electrocardiogram when you're just looking at it, no matter how good the specialist is. A company called AliveCore has shown research indicating that a deep neural network AI can successfully identify the patterns that that show up in LQTS. These are too subtle of patterns for a person to be able to discern. The data reveals overall accuracy of 80%. So these are conditions that previously there was no way to diagnose them because they were so subtle that it was easy for a human to miss. And this is the power of an AI analysis type system.
Right. So you're going to ask, what the heck is a deep learning neural network? It's also known as a deep structured learning or hierarchical learning. It's a broader family of machine learning methods using, according to Wikipedia, based on learning data representations as opposed to task-specific algorithms. And it's kind of interesting in this case, the learning can be supervised, semi-supervised, or even unsupervised. Deep learning modules are related to information processing and communication patterns in biological nervous systems. So it's sort of like, I guess, is this one step closer to the positronic brain, to use Star Trek terminology, and where you have
an Asimov.
But we're familiar with it through Star Trek, widespread. But anyway, they are a different way for the system to learn how to do things. So the modern deep learning models are based on artificial neural networks, and they do some different things. So I'd have to read a little bit further in here to figure out a little bit more about how they work. But it tends to be able to take kind of esoteric things, as I understand it, and pull out abstract kind of things. So that would make sense in it, that it being able to recognize subtle patterns that the human can't really recognize. Mm-hmm. So this is really interesting. Now, the deep learning refers to the number of layers through which the data is transformed. So apparently the iterations or whatever. So that it's kind of interesting. It's a little bit different way than we're thinking about computers. When you think about computers with an algorithm kind of approach, it's you program it to look for certain things, or you program it to perform a certain number of operations over and over and over again, perhaps, or a certain set of operations in a particular sequence. And so that would be an algorithm, and it may perform that a lot of times, and it might be looking for particular something. But apparently this one is a little different, what deep learning is. So that sounds kind of interesting as to how that works. So it is only been around since about 1986. Mm-hmm. So artificial neural networks, I think it's some attempt to get a machine to think like a human
to mimic
the human brain, right? Yeah, it's kind of interesting booleans. I don't understand what boolean
logic
is logic. It, yeah, neural networks. It's kind of, there's some stuff related to that as part of it, and
I would call that beyond the scope of this.
Oh yeah, this is pretty esoteric geek out stuff in this article, but there is some stuff on Wikipedia if you want to know more about deep learning. It suffice it to say, it's a little different approach than you might think of in a normal computer program type of approach.
Right. Remember a few years ago that the FBI and Apple were head to head on crime fighting versus personal security. And the FBI essentially was demanding that Apple unlock an iPhone.
Yes.
In the name of accessing the phone. And there have been a lot of questions about...
under the guise of citizen security.
Right. And California has proposed laws that you can't sell a smartphone in the state of California that there isn't a back door to, that And it would only be for law enforcement to be able to solve a crime and save children. Well, if you create a vulnerability, if you create a security hole,
it will be exploited.
It will be exploited probably by bad guys,
yep,
or a malign government.
Yep, there's that. The case in point with the government demanding that backdoor was with the San Bernardino incident of shooters. And even though there was strong evidence that surfaced that there was no reason to believe that there was anything on that phone that was of any relevancy to the situation, the government still insisted that they do it. And I forget what happened. Did they eventually prevail and there was nothing?
It was cracked by another method.
Yes, that's right. There was another way to backdoor
it. FBI had actually misled Congress. It said it had exhausted all attempts to access this particular iPhone. But they were using this as a test case, as an opportunity to be able to access iPhones. Now, I'm all for law enforcement, but intentionally crippling the security features on the devices that we have become so dependent on is really a bad idea. Now, there's a bill before Congress that would eliminate the possibility of these battles. Apple famously fought the FBI. The Secure Data Act would prohibit federal agencies from mandating the deployment of vulnerabilities in data security technologies. In other words, you cannot intentionally install a backdoor that a government agency is free to exploit, because I will guarantee that that information will get out.
Oh, yeah.
Secure Data Act states no court may issue an order to compel a manufacturer, developer, or seller of covered products to design or alter the security products in security functions in its product or service to allow the surveillance of any user of such product or to allow physical search of such product by an agency. Now, there are when certain people from certain countries come into the United States, are being told to hand over their phone and unlock it. You can legally refuse to unlock your phone. Now, they may stick you in a room, but they cannot compel you to unlock your phone legally, although they'll certainly try to badger you into it. The only exception to this is wiretaps would be permitted under the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act. The government cannot demand weakening of end-to-end encrypted message services. The bill is actually being introduced bipartisan-wise, three Democrats and three Republican representatives. Now, the Electronic Frontier Foundation is welcoming the bill, saying that government-mandated backdoors face a lot of technical challenge and will weaken computer security for all, because if you create a master key, someone will get hold of it. And once that's out, then any device can be exploited. So good news on that front. Now, the bill isn't passed through yet, but it certainly seems to be a step in the right direction for those of us who value our privacy, not because we're doing something wrong, but because we value our privacy. It's bad enough that we're being told that we have to hand over our stuff to various agencies or to various apps.
Yeah. Yeah. We give up a bunch of stuff already, mm-hmm, willingly or seemingly willingly, or the price you pay for if you want to use that app, then you do have to give it access to your photos and your contacts.
Well, the great Facebook scandal has not seemed to have had a lasting effect. Facebook, of course, when it came under a lot of fire for their practices that led up to the 2017 election or 2016 election. Wall Street appears to have moved on. Shares trading at around $186. It has actually gained ground. The shares had plunged 13% back in March. On Thursday, Democrats released more than 3,500 Facebook ads that were created or promoted by Russian internet agencies, and most people have gone, yeah, okay, I want to watch my cat videos now. And so Facebook appears to, I think Facebook will die a natural death. Oh, personally.
Well, yeah, these kind of things.
I think that Facebook will eventually go the way of MySpace.
Well, there's, you know, we've talked about this many times where a lot of people are moving over to Instagram.
Yeah, and I'm not using Facebook very much. I will check it about once a week or so.
We never did use Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Boston Dynamics. So this is an interesting company. They actually are one of the most advanced. And, you know, robotics are not anywhere near the level that we see them in the movies. Okay?
Oh, no. Far,
we still
far
don't
it.
Have one that can successfully negotiate a flight of stairs. It always looks like that famous scene from RoboCop when ED-209 is trying to work the stairs.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you can have your very own Boston Dynamics robot. Their company planning to sell its Spot Mini robot. This is sort of a robotic dog. In 2019, TechCrunch made the report. Spot Mini in pre-production. It's actually a robot that can open doors. I'm not sure what else it will do, but this is the company that has the Atlas robot that can actually maneuver through complex fields, and the military is very interested in these things.
Right, and
it's certainly no Terminator.
There's a robot that they have one that'll run and looks humanoid, and that's what a lot of these robots that they build are kind of crazy looking things. The Atlas robot that you just referred to is on their website. They refer to it as the world's most dynamic humanoid. Mm-hmm. And these are funky.
But even it's pretty clunky.
It is. And I suspect that it's heavy, too. A lot of their robots, they look kind of creepy, weird. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very definitely. But they, you know, they're pretty innovative.
Yeah.
They do some pretty interesting things. So check out their... their website, it's quite interesting, and they have on their website, they feature four different ones. One is called the Handle that has legs and wheels, the best of both worlds, having legs and wheels, apparently. Mm-hmm. The Spot Mini, we were just talking about that's sort of dog-like and can open doors for you and such like. Alice, we talked about that as well, kind of humanoid, and then Spot, takes a kicking and keeps on ticking, as they say. I think that's the one that sort of runs like a cheetah or something like that. It's an mobile thing, but it has wheels.
Yeah. Robots are showing up on the battlefields. There's a lot of concern about that, especially autonomous systems that can make decisions on whether to carry out a lethal force attack.
Yep. Okay. And, you know, to some extent, but a lot of those are, to some extent, I think these robots can process data more objectively than a human a lot of times. Mm-hmm. But you have to have incredibly good algorithms written for them, so they have to have a lot of information about, you know, what is that and how do I react to it type of thing.
Of course, people watch Westworld and start panicking for this stuff. We are nowhere near the quality of robots that are shown in Westworld. Not by decades and probably not within the lifetime of anyone listening to this show. Something that is starting to happen, though, is that budget airline Spirit is going to start offering Wi-Fi on their flights. Up until now, trying to get data on a flight across country, because you're not allowed to use your hotspot when you're up at 35,000 feet, because that can potentially interfere with the aircraft's operation. The problem is that previous solutions have been incredibly expensive and very low speed. For if you want to plunk down about $6.50 for access, Spirit Airlines will connect you while you're en route. It's actually a high-speed satellite system, and rollout is expected to be complete by 2019. Now, as far as this mobile internet goes, I think this new stuff that's being set up by Tesla, these little mini satellites, that's going to be a game changer in terms of mobile internet. because it's going to be like a cell tower in low Earth orbit. And you'll be able to connect. And these speeds, especially as we come up with better data connections, and I expect these speeds are going to be on the order of like 5G type connection.
Probably so. You know, if you're on a longer flight, $6.50 may not be that bad, although they say it's an average price. So it may depend on the length of route or where you are, where the flight is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting. Probably longer routes, you got to pay more. But, hey, that's cheaper than some motel rooms you get for 24 hours worth of data. So I guess it's sort of like a prorated thing. But for some people, that might be a good thing. I mean, they can keep working on cloud-based projects and things like that. It might not be a bad way to spend your time on an airplane. Although, you know, it's interesting. This is a side note. Doesn't have much to do with technology. Most of the people I know hate flying now. Used to be fun to fly, you know, and you had a good time. And everybody was like, now it's so odious.
My last flying experience was hideous.
Miserable. You know, and it's just, but it's the whole thing about the security and the this and the that, and you have to have a passport coming up for some places, and it's just too much.
Yeah.
You know, it's like launching an expedition. You know, do you check your bag? They charge you extra. It's all these hassles.
Yeah, and you
going
have to
through
be
security.
At the gate 2 hours. You have to languish and, you know, lose two hours of your life sitting in the seating area.
Yeah.
Then you get on the plane, and you might sit on the tarmac because something has gone wrong.
Right,
and you hear horror stories.
Flow control or weather, or you just never know. And going through security, you got to take your shoes off. You got to manage your stuff, and you got to worry about theft because that happens as well.
Yeah.
And it's just not fun anymore.
Yeah, it isn't. It isn't any fun anymore. Finally, I've noticed this, Microsoft having determined that they are unable to build a phone that anybody will actually buy.
They have not had good luck with that,
have they? Opening up Windows to work both with iPhones and Google-based phones, Android-based phones. And I actually saw this on the latest update when my laptop updated. I wanted to know if I wanted to connect my phone to the computer through the internet, so that say your phone has become your primary method of communicating with the world, messages and alerts and things like that can actually be forwarded to your computer from your phone, which is kind of cool. I'd still like to be able to send a text message off of my computer screen, and I think you can do that with certain apps now. Microsoft's new Your Phone app isn't ready for Windows 10 users quite yet. The company is still building it. Microsoft can use Cortana to send SMS and notifications in the past. This new app is going to be the way for phones to connect to Windows 10 PCs. Now, I've seen some hints of this. So further integration of our devices. And I'm of the mind that the PC is not dead. I have evidence sitting on the floor next to me that the PC is not dead.
Yeah.
I do video editing, which can't be done on a tablet. And my workhorse PC developed a problem. And rather than go buy a new one, I bought the parts to put basically build a new PC in an old box.
Right.
So I'll be talking about that adventure in upcoming weeks. And I dealt with a company I didn't put –
you had it out here earlier.
Yeah, I had to. And I'll talk about the company, but I am very impressed with how they put the motherboard together, put the processor on it and the cooler on it,
tested the whole thing
before they shipped. And they did it in less than a week.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
I ordered it last Sunday, and it's here today, which is pretty good for a fully tested
basically
setup.
Basically 5-day service for all of that. Yep, that's cool.
Yeah, it is. I will be updating. Now, the trick is when you can't just plunk your Windows hard drive into another computer and just have it work right off the bat. You have to tell Windows that it's being put into a new computer system, and there's a warning in the box that don't fire it up with a hard drive that was tied to other hardware without going through some certain motions first. So I have to pull up an article, and I may have to contact Windows Tech Support, oh, God, to be able to pull this one off. But I'll keep you updated on how this goes. But essentially, my three-year-old computer is getting a brain transplant. So we'll see how that works out. All the time for this week. Thank you very much for listening to Boomer Tech Radio. We do appreciate it. It's Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers to keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.